The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to First Take. It is Friday. We made it. And what a Friday it is, because guess what? It is another one of our famous First Take, Her Take overs. I'm Charlie Arnold. We got my podcast co-host, the lovely lady Shanae Ogumike, Kimberly A. Martin in the house, also co-host of the Freddie and Fitzsimmons podcast, Mr. Freddie Coleman. Freddie, thanks for hanging with the girls today.
What's up, Freddie?
We appreciate you.
I'm just going to try not to get in the way. Let's put it that way. I want to make sure that I know my lane and where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do
Freddie
and what I'm supposed to say.
Warned. Yeah, stay in your lane because these women are fierce. But look, it is really, here on First Take, it's all love. We know this.
Amen.
But there is one man who has really been making headlines for throwing some serious shade lately. Yesterday, we debated his comments toward female athletes and pay inequality. I'm talking about Draymond Green. And now, Dre is coming for the younger players he faces on the court. On Kevin Durant's The Etcetera's podcast, he said, quote, "There's more talent around the league than there's ever been. From a talent standpoint, the league is in a good space, but as pure basketball lovers who love competition at the highest level, I think they got to catch up in that department. They soft as hell. I found myself trying to talk blank to some of these young dudes that won't talk, and they're like trying to be a friend. That's what these young dudes do nowadays. I just don't understand it." Oh, all right. Man, Draymond, we've been talking about him a lot lately. Okay, so Draymond referring to these younger players as, quote, soft as hell. Shanae, what do you think about this?
Girl, first and foremost, I think it's important to note that Draymond did say that there is more talent around the league than ever before right now. And I really think that that is true. And he's right there. And let me tell you, the Gen Z generation is something serious. I mean, social media and YouTube, I know social media is hard to track, but you know, it's really changed the game for young hoopers. And it's tough really to avoid becoming friends with other stars in their age range because it's so accessible. And on top of that, I always joke that a lot of us grew up and we learn the game in person. I mean, myself getting dragged to practice. Now this next generation has everything at their fingertips to make it happen. They can learn and work on skills overnight, watching clips, watching Instagram, watching YouTube. And I love it. I think it's awesome. Now, everything that Draymond says will always, you know, technically be put to the extreme. That's just how he is. Soft as hell. That is very heavy. But I do think that it is fair to point out that the game has changed, whether it is the officiating that now benefits the shooter, you know, to drive more points and more eyeballs to the game. Look at the number of offenses exploding this year. It's harder to be a defensive player now than ever before. And I think that's what he's speaking to. And I don't want that to get lost in the sauce by Draymond translation. But I guarantee you this, we may be buddy-buddy nowadays on the internet when it comes to athletes. But when it comes to being great, young players are not waiting. And that's not just in basketball. That's throughout sports. They're coming for everybody right now.
Shanae, I hear what you're saying about with Draymond and where he's coming from. But let me get this straight. He has a problem with younger players not engaging with him in trash talking. That's where the soft as hell comment is coming from in Draymond Green, that he's trying to get in the guy's grill, trying to use Jedi mind tricks. And the young guys are not buying it. That's what he's saying by soft as hell. Draymond, dude, you're 31 years of age. You're not that much older than the soft as hell dudes that you've been able to talk about on the Kevin Durant podcast. Here's the deal with Draymond Green. He is not stupid. He is very calculating. He is very smart. Remember, this is the same guy that will hold the chip as long as he's in the NBA because he was Big Ten Player of the Year, First Team All-American, and he was not drafted as high as he thought he should have been drafted in the first round. So we understand where that chip is coming from, and that has been a hallmark of his success, being a three-time NBA champion. But Draymond Green right now does not want to be that old dude in the park where you can't keep with the young squires. They're leaving you behind. And the only way you can try to level the playing field is to use these kind of mind tricks to say, hey, you're not that good, or back in my day, and all that stuff. Draymond is very calculating. This is his way of making sure that in a pace and space NBA, that a guy like him is not going to be legislated out of the league, that the referees won't give too much leeway for other people and not for Draymond Green being an outstanding defender. So, Draymond, brother, I get it. I understand it. But we know where this game is headed. You don't want those young dudes to continue to own you, and now you're trying to do this to level the playing field by using these kind of mind crime tricks, thinking that the NBA and the referees and younger dudes are going to fall into that rabbit hole with you.
Listen, I don't think this is foul. Is it a bit extra? Sure. But for the most part, I feel like it's misplaced anger, honestly, because older generations, and I can't believe that Draymond is trying to call him older generation or anything, but older generations always have something to say about the younger cats coming up. And right now, Draymond almost sounds like an old man yelling at the clouds. Like, he just said talent is being displayed every night. So what's really the issue? Are guys really soft because they're putting up points? A lot of guys are in the MVP conversation. I think Draymond is just somebody who, like you guys touched on it, he likes that. He wants to find a competitive edge. Like, he wants to get in your head. He wants to get you thinking about other things. But what's happening? These guys aren't partaking in this trash-talking thing, and that's what's bothering him. Like, that to me sounds a little weird. But I think, you know, there are dudes out there that think NFL jersey swapping. What are we doing? We should be, you know, those players shouldn't be fraternizing after the game. If you lose, you shouldn't be smiling. Don't be holding up another guy's jersey. But that's just how things go. I did find it interesting that a former NFL receiver, Steve Smith, had once said guys would swap jerseys with him. And it actually used to mess with him psychologically, because once they complimented him, said, "I really love your game. I really look up to you." He didn't go at them as hard at times, and he was like, "Whoa, that's tripping with me. I feel like this is more about Draymond not being able to do what he does up here with some of these guys than it is about the state of the league."
But I would say it is a little bit personal, and maybe I relate because I'm currently a post player, and so I've seen the way things have changed, especially for the guards, and it's harder to defend out there. And I think a lot of people are critical of Draymond Green and his value in his game, and so he might be a little sensitive to that. But he's talking to Kevin Durant, and this is just how players talk. And he's right, you know, trash talk is different now. Before, you know, that was just the way the game goes. That was the number one language. Now everyone has their own unique versions of entitlement. And it's right. When you walk in the league with awareness and attention, with a social media following, you have that entitlement like, "I've already arrived." And that's a change. That's a shift that we're all dealing with. And I know we're saying, like, he sounds old, but, like, I think he's on the other side of 30. I'm not, like, I'm pretty close. I'm 29. And we, like, I have younger sisters that are, you know, 25 and 23. And there is a big difference and a gap when it comes to what they take personally and where the game sort of has evolved. I mean, super skilled players. But yeah, maybe if, like, we bring back the old school, like, "Hey, you ain't good. You soft." People are like, "Why did that person attack me?" And then it's all over social media, and then it gets blown out of proportion, not knowing that that's just a part of the game. That's how the game has forever been. So I sort of relate to Draymond's perspective, maybe as a big, knowing that bigs don't necessarily get love. Not too long ago, I talked to Rudy Gobert, and Rudy Gobert was saying, like, "Y'all, like, I'm out here trying to be another defensive player of the year, but everyone wants to talk about the game-winning shots, right, but not the game-winning stops." It just is a different way that defensive players are having to adapt. And while, you know, we all agree that Draymond, he says things to the extreme, there are, at times, truths to what he is saying.
It may be true to what he's saying, Shanae. I hear what you're saying about that. But at a certain point, it becomes white noise to people. And if anybody should know that, it should be a Draymond Green. I get what he's trying to put out there, trying to put that message out there for older players when it comes to him. But he also has to realize it's not going to end well, because the Devin Bookers of the world, the Donovan Mitchells of the world, the Luka Doncic of the world, those dudes are not soft as young guys. And the last thing they want to do is have a guy like Draymond Green, who's not on their level, think he can bring them down to his level. So, yeah, he can try all this stuff, but then Luka Doncic put a 31 burger in your face, and there's only so much conversation that you're going to be able to have.
I don't think he's saying they're soft. Not those guys. Those guys are future stars.
It's probably, well, then, like, who's he talking about?
Just the other guys.
Who's he talking about then? Who are these soft as hell younger guys that he's not naming?
Regardless of who he's talking about, there is one thing that we do know. Draymond, he likes to speak his mind, and it would make sense that he is only one of six players this season with 10 technical fouls so far. So We have more Draymond Green news to get to later on in the show. Unrelated to this subject, if you can imagine. But speaking of shade, Bill Belichick may be the most winningest coach in the NFL. But after the Patriots finished last season with a losing record, while, you know, at the same time seeing Mr. Tom Brady capture ring number 7 with the Bucs, former NFL linebacker LeVar Arrington says he believes Belichick now must prove he can win without Brady, saying, quote, "That seat is warm for Bill Belichick, and that might sound crazy for some people, but Bill Belichick has to have a good season this year. And you know why? Because there are whispers. It was Tom. It was always Tom. It couldn't have been anything else but Tom. And Bill Belichick has to show before he gets too far away from Tom Brady leaving that it was not Tom Brady, that it was, in fact, and indeed, the system of what Bill Belichick built in New England." Okay, Kimberly, did last season prove that the Pats' success was more about Belichick or was it more about Brady?
The idea of whispers, who's whispering? I mean, we're talking about it, but I don't think Belichick is really sitting up at night like, oh, everybody thinks it was Tom and not me. You know, is he on the hot seat? No. Should he be? Is he putting himself on notice? Probably, because he's Bill Belichick and he's really competitive. He's always been that guy before Tom, pre-Tom, post-Tom. Belichick is going to be that same guy. Look, they went 7-9 last year. By all accounts, that was their first losing season since, I think, 2000. They're picking 15th in the draft. The Patriots are not accustomed to doing that. But at the same time, you know, the Patriot way, I think at the end of the day, it's an amalgamation of both of them. I don't think, you know, those two existed in a vacuum together and their best traits played off of each other. That was a beautiful thing. Now, Brady got to do it in Tampa, bring a similar mindset down there and have a little bit more fun. But you think Belichick is really worried about job security or worried that, oh, people don't think I'm a great coach anymore? That greatness has been solidified. He will go down already as one of the greatest coaches ever. Yes, does he not want to go 7-9 again? Of course. But after COVID, all those opt-outs, Brady leaving, you got to replace a future Hall of Famer. Like, come on now. Like, I understand any team in this league, if you don't have the guy at quarterback, you don't have a lot. And I understand, like, you can make this about Belichick Brady, but that's just a common denominator in football. So I expect the Patriots to bounce back and Bill Belichick to be, he's not even worried about what we're saying right now.
Big facts. You know, I heard Steph Curry say something at All-Star that perfectly describes the mentality of repeat champions, right? Like Bill Belichick. And Steph Curry said, "I have a lot to accomplish. I don't have anything to prove." And I think Bill Belichick, he's what, like 68 years old with 6 rings, 1 year, just 1 year removed from Tom Brady heading, you know, to the Bucs. In no world do I think that Bill Belichick should be on the hot seat right now. We all know that the pendulum has swung that, you know, to Tom Brady because he just won a Super Bowl, while the Patriots, like you mentioned, Kimberly, finished the season with a losing record. You're right. I think it was like the first time in 20 years. Mm-hmm. But Tom, you know, he really targeted Tampa Bay knowing that he'd have weapons and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, plus bringing his boys back like Gronk and AB. And Tom, knowing that the defense had real potential, we saw how that really that defense delivered and got better as the year went on. Meanwhile, the Patriots obviously were 7-9 and on a major struggle bus. You know, a lot of times we talk about the highs, but the lows of the pandemic season were sort of an example with these Patriots league high COVID opt-outs. So when you're a player like totally of Tom Brady's caliber, he can absolutely steer the reins of his career and control his own destiny. But when you are tasked with rebuilding an entire roster, that can absolutely take time and more than 1 year. That's why I don't really think the hot seat is, like, maybe the conversation about, you know, the draft picks and seeing those pan out, maybe that's like the area of concern, but I would not put the hot seat on him.
To paraphrase the great DMX, Bill Belichick is not slipping and falling and can't get up. Are we actually saying this about Bill Belichick 1 year post Tom Brady? LeVar Arrington, are you actually putting out a guy that has won 6 championships in 20 years, 1 losing season, and all of a sudden, Bill Belichick has to worry about job security and calling U-Haul to pack the boxes to leave his house? Is that what LeVar Arrington is doing on FS1 when it comes to Bill Belichick? Bill Belichick does not give a bleep about what people think about him other than Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, who pays his salary. That's the only guy he cares about. Of course, he does not want to go another 7-9 and have back-to-back seasons of not making the playoffs. But really, is that the kind of clickbait we're trying to do at the expense of the plate of Bill Belichick by saying, hey, well, no Tom Brady. If he doesn't get it done this year, Robert Kraft may be looking at another head coach. Let's just stop this madness. In the words of the great D.L. Hughley, what? That's what we're talking about with Bill Belichick after 1 year? Did we not see what the Patriots did this offseason to make sure they're not going to go 7-9? There are plenty of people that are looking at the Patriots and the moves that they made, bringing in two tight ends, bringing in two wide receivers. They're going to improve that offensive line. They're going to get guys back on defense, and they bring back Cam Newton. Now, if you want to say Cam Newton's in the hot seat, there's no doubt about that. That's not new news here. But Bill Belichick on the hot seat? Really? So let me get this straight. We know that it's always going to be to try to a separation that it was more Belichick than Brady, more Brady than Belichick. It depends on what side of the fence you're going to be on. How about being on this side of the fence, and it's the truth? Both of those two were terrific together for 20 years. They won 6 world championships. Bill Belichick did get lucky. Nobody saw this Tom Brady being a 6th-round pick. He's the greatest player of all time, in my opinion. But at 1 year post-Tom Brady, did you think the Patriots would be a Super Bowl team without him? Of course they weren't going to be. But hot seat? LeVar Arrington, dude, you're a Penn State grad. You know better than that to say that kind of thing, being a Penn State grad, LeVar Arrington.
I think it's interesting, you know, Belichick, like I said, he doesn't care what we think. That's one of the things I absolutely love about him. But I think going into this year, he's excited about I don't know. I think I don't want to say reinvigorated, because, I mean, I think he's ultra competitive. There's a different level to him as a coach, right? But the idea of, okay, we had the guy at QB for so long. We did all these things together. Now, what can we do differently? What can we challenge Josh McDaniel to do differently? Like, we as an organization, we as an offense, we as a team, how do we stack this up? Because right now, Buffalo, they're the darlings of the division. And it's only been 1 year that the Patriots really have slipped. So I think Belichick is just taking a step back and looking at the whole view and realizing, you know, he's the greatest of all time as a head coach, but there's still room for improvement. And he's determined to have a winning season this year, regardless of what we or LeVar Arrington say.
The quiet ones are always the dangerous ones because they don't have to put it out there what they're doing or how they're going to go about it. The quiet ones are always the dangerous ones, no matter what.
Well,
real G's move in silence like lasagna.
Wow, I love that. I love that. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
And it was nothing but net for Kevin Durant Wednesday night, finally making his return to game action after sitting out the past 23 games. But on the flip side, James Harden is now sidelined and expected to sit out the bulk of next week. A few days ago, on First Take, Stephen A. and Max debated who was more important to the Nets' success, KD or Harden? So take a listen. Max, I'm going to start with you. Who do you think is more critical to their success? Is it Harden or is it Durant?
The answer is James Harden. And I want to be very clear about this. KD is the best player on the Nets. Kyrie is the most skillful player on the Nets. The most important player on the Nets is James Harden because he conducts the whole orchestra. He is the conductor. And if we've, like, James Harden by himself can beat some of the best teams in the Western Conference, at least in the regular season. This dude this year is showing a level of basketball genius. You know genius when you see it, right? LeBron James, when we were kids, Stephen A., Magic and Bird, the way they see the court. But let me tell you something. Almost no one in the history of basketball, I'm trying to think of anyone, who's combined James Harden's scoring prowess, shooting ability, not just scoring the ball, but from anywhere, with his level of court vision. And on this team, leadership.
Kyrie Irving is box office. You walk through the turnstiles to watch the show he will put on. Make no mistake about it. And he's been spectacular this year. James Harden, we know how big time he is and playing the best ball of his career. And as far as I'm concerned, is a legitimate top two league MVP candidate. But that would not be the case if Kevin Durant were healthy and Kevin Durant were playing these last 27, 28 games. You understand? When you look at the Brooklyn Nets and what the expectations are, the expectations
let's look at the chip.
The expectations, the chip. And that's only because Kevin Durant is there. If Kevin Durant wasn't there, Max, even with Harden and Kyrie playing the way that they're playing, you sit there and say they'd have a chance, but nobody will sit up there and say the expectation is for them to win the chip. KD shifts the balance of power that dramatically.
All right, we got some disagreement between the guys. What's new? Chinee, what do you think? Who is more important to the Nets? Is it KD or is it Harden?
I think Stephen A's right on the money. Kevin Durant definitely shifts the balance of power, whether it was, you know, him trying to find himself in OKC, shifting it to the Golden State Warriors, and then now the Brooklyn Nets. It just is so apparent. You can just follow the lines. Now, I will say this. James Harden is absolutely having an impressive season, MVP caliber. He's been durable, even though, you know, he's out for about a 10-day stretch. And as we've seen time and time again, you know, James wakes up and dominates games over and over the course of 48 minutes. And he wants to play every game that he can, wash, rinse, repeat, you know? But Kevin Durant is different. He can dominate a playoff series, and it's more important to the Brooklyn Nets' success. There's a reason why, I mean, pretty much he's called easy money, y'all. I mean, he gets unbothered buckets. Kevin Durant is one of the purest scorers and shooters that the game has ever seen, period. He is the star that superstars defer to, whether it is Kyrie Irving now, as he acknowledged before the season started, or even Steph Curry knowing that, hey, this is a guy that I have to let lead because he will deliver us a championship back with the Warriors. And by the way, that Warriors team, he made an unbelievable Warriors team untouchable. The only thing that slowed them down really was injury. And the Brooklyn Nets have proven that they can win so far by substituting stars, which is really cool and beneficial right now coming down the stretch. But there is no substitute for Kevin Durant at 7 feet tall in isolation with unlimited range from the paint to the perimeter. KD is the absolute championship piece.
I don't think it's even close as Kevin Durant, to be completely honest with you. And that's not the slight James Harden, who has been unbelievable in the absence of Kevin Durant. And I'll never forget when the trade was made between the Nets and the Rockets, ladies, and people said, how's this going to work? Great players always have a way to figure it out. And James Harden, I was not concerned that he was not going to be able to figure that out once he got to Brooklyn to play Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. But some dudes are just different. Some basketball players, male or female, are just different. When you look at, first time I saw Lisa Leslie, I said, man, she's just different. And that's where Kevin Durant falls in.
Yes.
He is the most efficient scorer, I think, the NBA, in terms of efficient scoring that the NBA has ever seen. He can drop 40 on you and take no more than 20 shots. A lot of other great scorers, if they have 40, they're putting up 45 shots. He doesn't have to do that. When you have a guy like that, it just makes everything better and makes everything easier. Stephen A. was right in terms of James Harden would not have these kind of numbers if Kevin Durant was not injured. And we saw he's back in action only played 19 minutes. He was a point a minute practically in his return back to the Brooklyn Nets. When he's doing that to that effectiveness and that efficiency, he is unguardable. And plus, we've seen him do this in the playoffs. We're still waiting for James Harden to do this in the playoffs. So until that happens, it is Kevin Durant, and in my opinion, it's not even close who's more important to the Nets when comparing those two guys.
Guys, I really wanted to agree with Max. I really did. You know why? Because I feel like Stephen A. is he just treats him so bad on this show. And I was like, you know what?
Ouch.
Coming into today,
it's true.
I'm going to have Max's back. I'm going to have Max's back today. No, Max.
You can't do it,
no,
huh?
No, sir. Cannot do it. Can do it. I
went deep. Do it.
I went deep, Max. I went deep. Like, okay, coming in. I'm going to sit. Can't do it, brother. Because who is as effortless a scorer? Like, you don't have anybody as big. You don't have another 7-footer that can defend him outside in the perimeter. You don't have guards that can get to him, that can stop him when he's. Did you see that game where he came back after 23 days off? And everybody is wondering, oh, well, what's the layoff? Is there going to be any rust? Like, what's the chemistry like with these Brooklyn Nets? And Kevin Durant came in and was like, I felt like myself. He was dribbling down the court, in the paint, spotting up. You know, that's what he does. And he makes it look so effortless that sometimes, you know, he's so good that you almost think it's easy, but it's not. Like, and I hate these discussions sometimes because it feels like we're not giving James Harden his due, because what he's been able to do here, that what happened in the past, it's been a race in his short time in Brooklyn. You know, him being the great facilitator, great scorer when need be. But there is nobody like Kevin Durant. And if this team, obviously chemistry, you want to make sure that they've got it, all three guys on the court at the same time as we get closer to the playoffs. But if KD is not on the court, I don't think we're getting playoff buckets. We're getting playoff wins in the postseason. Like, we're just not. And I think you can't underestimate that. So, Max, bro, come see the light, my friend.
Well, Kimberly, you make a good
point. To help you here.
You make a good point about all three of the big three being on the court at the same time. So far this season, they've only been on the court for 7 games at the same time. So, Chinee, how concerned are you about the Nets staying healthy down the stretch?
After watching KD come back, my concern level dropped, like, all the way to the floor. Because you wonder about the chemistry issues, just, and I won't say, like, you know, under the ground, but it's just like level. It's level.
Level.
It's not really easy, and I know this from personal experience, assembling a team and making it work in the first year. The Tampa Bay Bucks built different with the GOAT and Tom Brady, but what we're watching here is a special collection of talent. I mean, Kyrie Irving, to see James Harden go out and he can just flip a switch and go for 40. James Harden, and if we're gonna like try to save Max a little bit, one thing that he has done, switching teams mid-season and then leading the league in assists, and on a night-to-night basis, sometimes having Kyrie, sometimes not having Kyrie and KD, figuring out multiple ways to win, which he's learned from that experience in Houston how to do it, and distributing the ball, making everyone look better. I mean, James Harden, Kyrie told him, like, you're gonna have the rock, bro. And now he's gonna have a lot of the decision-making responsibilities when he comes back, probably with like 15 or 12 games remaining for them to figure themselves out in that chemistry. So, you know, James Harden absolutely deserves the MVP consideration for what he's sort of done this season, being a chameleon on a night-to-night basis, figuring out multiple ways to win. But yeah, it's still gonna be crazy because, you know, the offense that we're seeing is probably the best offense we have ever seen, with the number of all-stars, people that can stretch the floor in Brooklyn. The question is, and the still anxiety I have is what you mentioned, Charlie, 7 games together, is that enough when you have this much talent? You know, maybe it is, but I think they will be tested in the playoffs in a way that they're going to have to be learning on the fly, and that's going to be their biggest challenge and deterrent, plus the health.
Well, to me, that comes down to Steve Nash. To be completely honest with you, the head coach, because we can talk about the chemistry between Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden being a concern. But Steve Nash is going into the playoffs with this kind of basketball team, with these expectations, mm-hmm. as a first-time head coach. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about having a Greg Popovich or Doc Rivers leading a team into the playoffs. We're talking about Steve Nash, great point guard. But when the bullets are flying, how are you going to be able to make the right play call? Know who is hot and who is not. And you don't have to worry about massaging egos here, Kimberly and Shanae and Charlie. It's all about, hey, this is where the ball is going and everybody being on the same page. To me, I think that's the hidden fact about this whole thing. Steve Nash is the one that has to make those important calls and have everybody's respect and confidence that he can do that and make that work in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a great point, Freddie. I think the minute we started talking about the chemistry issues, like, how's this going to work, guys? That's a lot of talent. But are they going to be unselfish? Are they going to want to be unselfish? Are they going to? I think the three of them heard all that and was like, boom, all right, chemistry, not an issue. We're good. Because I think they're determined to show that this can work. Again, like Chiney said, seeing KD come out the other night for the first time in a long time, you were able to relax your shoulders a little bit as a fan because you feel like, okay, he's good. Obviously, health is a concern for them, but also for the Lakers. There's a lot of teams right now where health is an issue. But, you know, in Brooklyn, we're just built a little different. We're just, as a Brooklyn native myself,
oh, we don't okay. care. Kimberly,
I see what you did there.
There she goes.
Ain't lying. I'm a Brooklyn native, too.
Plug for yourself.
Kimberly ain't lying. I'm a Brooklyn native, too.
I can see that Brooklyn energy.
BK all day, every day.
I see that Brooklyn energy.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
I think he's going to still be the starting quarterback day one for San Francisco because they have a chance at a Super Bowl this year. But I think Justin Fields is the one, even without his athleticism, if you just took him as a standalone pocket passer and his efficiency and his completion percentage and what he's able to do week in and week out, he's a winner. He's been at a program that competes at a high level year in and year out, always in the championships, always in the big games, and he's played well.
Okay, that was Richard Sherman on the Chris Collinsworth podcast. And look, you heard what he said, but our draft experts here at ESPN, Mel Kiper Jr., Todd McShay, they think that Mac Jones is the better choice for San Francisco. So, Kimberly, take it or leave it. The 49ers with the number 3 pick should take Mac Jones over Justin Fields.
I hate to go against our draft experts here at NFL at ESPN, but I'm going to leave it. Because when the 49ers made this trade, a couple league sources texted me and said, you know, Kyle wants an athletic guy. He's going to trade Lance. Like, Lance will be totally ready in 2022. So not even the Justin Fields. You know, I was first hearing trade Lance versus Mac Jones. So I think there's a couple things with Trey Lance. I see him similar to Justin Fields in that you can talk about the athleticism and everything like that, but he's a kid who's raw. He's raw. You know, inexperienced, that's a knock. However, the ceiling is high. I think people, when they mock Mac Jones and talk about Mac Jones and how he fits with the 49ers, he's a great processor. Well, Trey Lance, he's a great processor too. Like, he can go through his progressions. He's high football IQ. High football IQ. You know, calm protections at his own protections. You know, this is an offense. It's a quick offense. Kyle Shanahan, I understand he's been with Matt Ryan and he's been with Jimmy Garoppolo, so it sort of makes sense. Like, Mac Jones, he's a guy that you can sort of fit in there. You know, he may not have the athleticism, but he's very smart. But the people that I talk to also bring up, you know, with Justin Fields and Trey Lance, they add a different dimension. You could do some different things with them. So that's why I'm not completely sold on Mac Jones, especially to give up that much to go up that high. For a guy that a few weeks ago we were talking about, you know, could be there 5, 6, 7, 8. So I would leave that, Charlie.
All right. Anyone taking it or everyone leaving it?
I would take it because I think Mac Jones right now is the most NFL-ready quarterback out of the two guys that Kimberly mentioned when it comes to Justin Fields and Trey Lance. And I think all three of these gentlemen are going to be terrific quarterbacks in the National Football League. But I look at where Mac Jones played, and I was at Alabama. And a guy, Nick Saban, who completely changed his offensive culture. He was the kind of guy that had the big linebackers run the football, play tough defense, and then everybody was running away and hiding from him. I go back to that Ohio State game in the semifinals where he said, enough of that nonsense. And look how many NFL wide receivers that Alabama has put in the NFL ever since all that happened. You got a guy, Mac Jones, that is more NFL ready right now playing in a pro-style offense when Steve Sarkisian was the offensive coordinator before he made his way to Texas. I think Trey Lance is going to be terrific. Kimberly, I hear what you're saying, and I think you're completely right in terms of his upside. And I think Justin Fields has gotten a really bad rap from a lot of people. That's why I hope he wows it at his second pro day to just shut all those people up who don't think that he can make the right reads or make the quick enough reads. I hope he knocks it out of the park. But if I'm the San Francisco 49ers, if you trade to have the third pick in the draft, you're trading up for a guy that's going to be NFL ready, especially when you don't believe that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play a full season. That's why I think they made that move to take Mac Jones, and I would take that from the 49ers because Jimmy Garoppolo not playing the full 16, and when that happens, you can plug in Mac Jones. The offense is not going to miss a beat. That's why I would take that if I'm the San Francisco 49ers when it comes to Mac Jones of Alabama.
And that makes sense, especially with them not being far removed from a Super Bowl appearance, getting someone that can plug and play and really get them back to that level of competition. Hopefully in the immediate future, I can get that logic. Thank you for that, Freddie. But it's crazy because, you know, it's surprising that Justin Fields, after watching the college football playoff, how he has been the one that has been dropping in the conversations, where we watched the playoff and it was startling, right, to see how amazing he had done. I mean, that semifinal versus Clemson, I was in awe. He went 22 for like 28 from the, you know, while playing 385 yards with 6 touchdowns, 4 of which that came after the crazy hit that hampered him in the national championship game. And, you know, it's interesting when you make that move up to 3 and you're the 49ers trading up, that's a big deal. And you're looking to get that guy and Kyle Shanahan, you know, one of the best offensive minds. I'm curious as to, you know, when I heard it was a Mac Jones now, you know, going up, I was like, who? Like Mac Jones, who? You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, I see this is the guy that you like and that you're targeting. But it's interesting because you make the comparisons, and I know, Kimberly, you said not too long ago, the comparisons to Jimmy Garoppolo, while at first we're hearing, you know, like maybe they want to move in a different direction with someone, you know, a little bit stronger and more athletic, that's where the confusion lies in my head after watching that college football playoff, saying, all right, the ceiling is high for him too. Why is he the one continually to fall? That's the question that I have. That's the question that I think Richard Sherman has, you know, players for the 49ers right now.
So, you know, with the Mac Jones thing, you know, I understand pro-style offense, all that. You know, it's real easy to look real good when your team is stacked at every position. Every position, you got dogs. So, I think he's going to be a fantastic prospect, a very good NFL QB. It's no shade to him, but I think this is what's so fascinating about the draft, because every team has these quarterbacks, these 5 quarterbacks, rated a little differently. So it's what's your flavor? That's what it's going to come down to. But I think in terms of projecting what a prospect is going to be, yeah, at Alabama, when you've got Waddle, when you've got Devontae Smith, you got all these guys, like it, you got a line that's going to keep you upright and guys don't even touch you. That's a really nice situation to be in. So I hate these compare contrast things because it sounds like, you know, I'm knocking Mac Jones. I think this kid's going to be good. But, you know, Trey Lance, I think with the 49ers situation, they like Jimmy G. But will Jimmy G, they could keep Jimmy G for this year. What about after this year? They're ready-made team right now to go to the playoffs if he stays healthy. Could we see a rookie QB play by the end of the year in this offense, plug and play like you say, or do you completely, by 2022, you go in a different direction with a young kid who's had a year of seasoning? I think Trevor Lawrence obviously should play. You know, you can make a case that I personally like to see a young kid sit and just learn and watch. Instead, because I've watched a lot of bad teams ruin bad quarterbacks, ruin quarterbacks. So,
tell
you know,
why, Kimberly.
I'm
Freddie's face.
We ain't got the time, girl. We don't got the time to go through all the QBs that I've seen get demolished. But so in this situation, I think there's a lot of very good young QBs. If they get some time to sit, they could be great QBs in the NFL.
Didn't Justin Fields play on the stack team
at
Ohio
the Jets,
State?
Y'all.
I mean, Justin Fields didn't exactly play a bunch of Scorbinis at Ohio State. A lot of five-star guys on the O-line, wide receiver, running back. So I hear you saying about Mac Jones, but Justin Fields wasn't that directional tech playing with guys and making them a championship team at Ohio State. So believe me, Mac Jones played with the stack guys, and he made them better. Justin Fields wasn't exactly in scrub land doing the same thing with Ohio State.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Mac Jones definitely had a stacked team. He had everything going for him on his side of the ball. In fact, according to Sports Info Solutions, Mac Jones, only one of two qualified quarterbacks in the FBS with at least a 90 QBR in both man and zone coverage. That would be alongside Zach Wilson. So just goes to show, matters who's on your team.